I remember when we first started this whole podcast thing, we just came up with the name God Journey. Some people didn't like it. I think it's perfect. This is not about me. This is not my journey. I am a supporting actor in a greater drama that's going on. This is about him.
Thinking outside the box isn't about whether you go to a meeting or not. It's about breaking free of the obligations of religious performance and living in the adventure of a relationship with God as our Father.
Two real guys talking about life, that's good tagline.
Slinging freedom all over the place and making no apologies, this is The God Journey.
Well, I'm Brad Cummings.
And I'm Wayne Jacobson. And welcome to another edition of...
The God Journey.
There we are. We're back again. This is the third back-to-back-to-back.
We're doing a triple header again. The travel schedule is getting a little nutty.
Yeah, I hate that. I like recording more on the fly because we get to respond to people. But then things build up. We've got just a whole bunch of listener email that would be fun to maybe ferret through because people have written us some wonderful things about their own journey that I think would be encouraging to others.
That'd be cool.
But also want to tell you, I know we haven't talked about much our time in Switzerland. Sarah and I had, we end up, that was kind of the, Germany was almost a different village every night and train every day, different people afternoon, evening, train the next day. I didn't sleep in the same bed twice till I'd been a weekend.
That's not so happy for you.
It was crazy and it was frustrating because you just, I think it takes about 2 or 3 days with people before you get beneath the surface of a relationship.
Yeah.
And start really getting down to not just heart and depth sharing, but also hilarious stuff. We stayed with this family in Switzerland for 5 days at the end of this trip. Sarah had flown over to join me, and this man, Silvio, is an Italian heritage living in Switzerland, and he had translated the Jake book into French, and he was working on He Loves Me, just got that done, and then he's working on The Naked Church, I think, now. He's just... a delightful family. Their daughter came to see, she's married now, but she came to spend the weekend with us while we were there, and one of their sons is still living in the home. One daughter we didn't get to meet, but a more hilarious family we have never stayed with. This guy was just, and we thought both of our wives could see that they had a lot in common because they get abused a lot by guys who just think hilarity is almost worth everything. So we were sharing a couple of stories from our life in the sun. A 19-year-old, 20-year-old looks at me. He goes, "You're worse than my dad." I'm like, "Whoa, hold it a minute. I'm not worse than your dad." He looks at me and goes, "Oh, I must learn from the master." So I called him my Padawan for a while.
There you go.
It was just, and they took us out to this lovely Swiss chalet out in the middle of the Alps. And
wow.
Almost got me at one point that we jumped out of a car. This is where my fears keep me from living in total freedom. Jumped out of a car, and we're getting out where there's one of these big cable things that take 125 passenger tram things.
Yep.
And I'm looking up this railing. It goes, it's at least a 2,000-foot rise up a sheer cliff.
Yeah.
Which is not like the ground gradually goes with you.
Yeah.
I'm going, no way. I'm not going on that.
Really?
Oh, no way. And Sarah's going, come on, it'll be fine. He's buying 4 tickets. I'm going, buy 3. I'm not going.
Really?
Oh, really? I mean, I'll show you the picture if you want to see it. It was just...
Oh, no, I've done the trams around Switzerland and stuff like that.
So we had to stop and talk a little bit about it. You sure didn't want to go? I said, you know what, really?
Did you not go?
No.
Wayne!
No.
Wayne!
The last time I went on one of those, I was leading that tour in Israel, and I had to go up to Masada, and that was a rickety old dog, and... Yeah, I don't like being that high in the air without a substantial airplane underneath me. I could
have. Oh, bummer, dude.
I could have talked myself into it if I'd had enough time. But
yeah, you should have.
No, they didn't have time. They were going, and I said, you know what? I got a book. I've been with people for 3 weeks. That coffee shop over there will be my haven.
So I have to find out from Sarah what the view is like.
I can show you the view. Sarah took the camera, took lovely pictures. It's beautiful. I still look at it going, I'm glad I wasn't up there.
Really?
By the next day, I'm saying, okay, now today, if we were going to do it, and I knew it was coming, I think I could talk myself into getting on that thing. But the worst part was not only was it one tram ride up to that hilltop, then there was a second tram ride that went to another hilltop that was even higher.
Yeah.
And
it would be a mountaintop, not a hilltop.
Okay, that was over a 7,000 foot. Oh, okay, maybe it was only 2,500, but it was over a severe drop. That's not fun to me. What was fun? I had my Coke Light. I had a book. I had a quiet.
So did you figure out how to say zwei Cola bitte with Coke Light?
No, Coca Light works every restaurant we were in.
There you go. See?
They kind of roll their eyes. And then we'd say ice. And
that's another new concept.
Stupid Americans. We actually stayed in a home with a refrigerator that dispensed ice. It was an American, they call it an American refrigerator, and it was in the home we were at for 5 days. So Sarah and I loved that. We didn't get other places. We go, do you guys have any ice? And they're going, oh, and they pull out some old plastic trays from a cabinet, put water in them.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
We can't live without ice. They don't understand living with ice.
I don't understand it full-heartedly. But anyway, we had as much fun with that couple as any we get to stay with. It was a lot of fun. We laughed so hard we couldn't breathe. And then bringing out all the bad stories from childhood and early marriage, and we finally were just looking at Dominique and Sarah going, boy, now you guys should really understand each other. And they just kept rolling their eyes going, yeah, we get it. So
what was it like with all the different languages? I mean, because like in Switzerland, you'll be in some situations, they'll speak four.
Well, we were in an afternoon deal that had French, German, and English going on because people couldn't understand. There was no one language everyone understood. So that was quite wild because it was an open conversation with me asking questions and things. And then it was being reinterpreted back a couple different languages, and then questions were coming and reinterpreted through different languages. Because some things would come from German, be translated in English for me and to French for other people who didn't understand either of those. So it was great. But it's great how many of those folks understand languages other than, I mean, U.S., you pretty much...
Well, it's ridiculous. We don't know anything but our little provincial English.
I was totally lost.
Three or four languages.
I was totally lost in Germany. I mean, German to me sounds like warlock talk. That must be what it sounds like this...
Warlock talk.
Oh, I mean warlock. I meant... No. Oh, gosh, that's bad.
Yeah, dig out of that hole there, Jacob.
I apologize. Oh, my German friend. I meant Vulcan talk. I meant the Star Trek thing. It's this guttural... I mean, it sounds like they're angry even if they're not. That's what's hilarious. But even the names, people give us their name, and I'm going,
that's German.
Give me that name again. But we get to Italy, and the home we stayed in was French-speaking. French I had in college. So there's enough French that comes back to me at times that I would just sit there and in the middle of a conversation and throw out some French phrase that I learned in French class 30 years ago. It had no relevance to what was going on, but was a significant phrase spoken with a beautiful accent because I really get the phrase.
Yeah, lay one on us. Come on. You did one at lunch yesterday.
Est-ce que t'es vraiment bien?
Oh, wow.
Oh, pourquoi ne déchire pas your rite de clown, should we? I've seen the most irrelevant moments, and I love your accent. I love the accent. You have such a good accent. And then there were times that I actually knew, you know.
Wayne's busting a new move here.
Je suis désolé, or peut-être, or, you know, one of those phrases, and actually put them in there when they fit in there. People just start laughing. Fun. It is great to be part of a family that just encompasses the whole world. You can be sitting in a home in Germany. The gal,
isn't that wild?
English gal living in Germany took me to the whole Nazi shrines in Nuremberg where the Hitler public events all happened. I went to the museum there, and that was profound. And she just had a wonderful journey. The whole family, they had fun with them. Young kid in Germany on this hunger journey I talked a little bit about in the previous podcast. It is great to be part of a family. Even if you only get 24 hours with some people.
Yeah.
There are some connections that do happen. It just gets better when you have more time. Just 24 hours, not enough. But I didn't schedule this trip. I had a German brother schedule it for me.
He engineered the trip.
It will not happen again. I'm telling you. It will not happen that way again. So sorry to all those that was so brief, but lovely people, great folks. Had a ball.
Well, our mail coffers are full. Shoot me one.
How come you never bring any mail?
Oh, dude, I'm kind of busy doing the Shaq thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to declare email bankruptcy myself at some point.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm almost at that point.
I got 500 emails the other day. 500 on one day.
Yeah.
That just was like a little outrageous. I sat there going like, okay, don't even bother. I don't even know how to sort through these.
You know, it's hard. People have always appreciated how accessible my life has been the last 14 years. You're this writer, and you're answering your own phone, and you answer emails, and pretty much I do. But I can see the day when I don't know if that's still possible. And then people are going to think I'm one of those arrogant jerks. It's too important to talk to common people.
No, they're just going to have to find their way in.
Yeah, well, I don't want people working too hard to find their way in. Because got this from Rachel. Thanks for your podcast, The God Journey. I've listened to all these episodes listed on iTunes, and I've downloaded most of your archives. I recently resigned my position at a religious club because of so many things you talk about. Shortly thereafter, I read So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore because I saw it advertised in the back of the shack. From there, I came upon The God Journey and have been so encouraged by everything you and Brad have had to say. Before I read the Jake book and listened to your podcast, I thought I was the only one. Thank God I'm not. Thanks for all you do, Paul and Brad, and done with the shack. I've thought my first case and given them all away, and I'm just waiting until we get another couple $100 kicking around so I can buy another.
You know, it is so wild, the journey that a lot of people are on and how it can feel incredibly isolating to sort of disconnect from the system and structure. You feel like you're the only person on the planet.
Yeah.
At times.
I've been reading that for years with stuff I've done on
Then to realize there's some joy in going like, okay, I'm not alone, and I'm not, you know, the spawn of Satan to be thinking what I'm thinking.
Right.
And maybe God is doing something that is just bigger than just the way it's been confined. It's not better. It's just bigger.
It's bigger. It's more freeing. I'm not sure we rise to the level of what World Magazine attributed to us.
I didn't even read that.
Yeah, World Magazine did an article about the shack, and pretty much I think a lot of it was saying from the USA Today article. But at the end of it, they said, they were talking about the windblown media. It was published by this media group that is against the institutional church.
Oh.
And it was meant to be a slap, because I think World Magazine obviously sustains itself in that environment. But I thought, you know, I don't know that you can read anything we've written and not say and say we're against the institutional church unless you're twisting something. Because we're not.
I think we can get misinterpreted that way.
We do, because, I mean, we're nuts about the whole religious thing and how religion is a detriment to the gospel Jesus taught us. But, on the other hand, we celebrate however believers gather in a way it's helpful and meaningful. And some people do it more institutionally.
I think that's the freedom side. Is, you know what? If that's a fruitful way for you to engage in the relationship with God and fellowship with others, awesome.
Engage away. And I'm often in those environments. I'll be in one Sunday.
Yeah.
This Sunday coming up, I'll be in one.
If it's not, that's okay too. And that's the thing. It's like, guess what? We're not going to validate one and invalidate the other.
Yeah, don't want to.
Whichever place God has you, that's probably going to be the most fruitful place for you to follow him in.
And just the fact that you can be free to follow him, even if you make a mistake.
Yep.
The idea, maybe God's not leading you out, but you think he is. So you leave this group of folks you've been with, and you find out there.
But your perfect attendance record will be ruined.
It will be ruined. But I miss them. I don't want to be back there. Maybe I go back there differently. But it really isn't about, I've got to get this exactly right. Follow him, learn to follow him, and learn to follow him by maybe making a mistake now and then, because God knows I've done it enough. That's how you learn to follow. You do things, you go, this is God. And you're in the middle of it going, oh, crud, it's not. It's just like that numb elbow you were talking about. You go, okay, now what do I do?
I roll over and go, ha ha.
But the freedom for people to do what's in their heart is so critical to people growing. If I'm just fitting in to the demands of other people, I've stopped growing.
Yeah, if I'm performing for whatever group I'm with.
Absolutely.
Whether they're institutionalized or not.
Even if it's a God journey crowd.
And
you're still losing your freedom.
Yeah. It's like at the end of the day, we're wanting to free folks to not need a mediator or a surrogate savior. It's like, guess what? You go face to face with Jesus yourself.
And he's good at what he does.
He's a great leader.
He is the head of the church. He will love you. He will keep you from error. He will connect you to brothers and sisters to walk alongside.
Yep.
He will do it. He's just really good at what he does. This is from Chantal in France. 1 year ago, my husband and I made a decision to leave the community church we were attending regularly because we just couldn't take more. We were disillusioned about the system of the church. We could see no way of finding life, which was the thing we needed desperately. Your Jake book has confirmed that we have simply felt over the past few months God really is at work in our lives. He is taking care of us, healing our hearts, restoring our relationship with him, teaching us how to live, how to let ourselves be gently led by the Holy Spirit day by day, and that he is our Father. Imagine that. It's great stuff. We feel that we are more and more ourselves, and we are learning how to trust him more, and I'm grateful to you for writing such a book which gives courage to follow this new road. Isn't that fun?
And it's neat that she brings up the fact that it takes courage, because it does. It's easier to follow the dictates of others, especially if I'm needing their approval.
Absolutely.
To somehow get free from the need for their approval, and that's a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant challenge, to get to a place where it's like, you know what? I'm not my own little renegade. It's more like I'm really trying to serve the Lord and trying to listen to what he's asked of me. And sometimes to do that well, you got to silence all the other voices.
Yeah. But this is how painful this journey can be. This is why it takes courage. My story is not one you haven't heard. My husband is from Joy, Michigan. My husband and I were elders in a church and went through a painful, hurtful last 2 years after an eight-year-long church plant. The Lord started showing us so many things we felt were crazy until someone mentioned your name and we started listening. To make a long story short, we've left the building. For 6 months, we did not go to church. It was both wonderful and difficult. Father showed himself in so many ways. My relationship with him flourished. My husband, who was mentored by an extremely controlling pastor friend his entire spiritual life, had a more difficult time dealing with his freedom. His relationship with Papa has always been performance-based. We had a lot of pressure from family to find a new church. We finally bowed to that. First, I must mention that we are really struggling to find friends and share life with. Everyone was busy doing their church and doing things with church friends. So week after week, we were alone, thriving as a family, but seeing no relationships with anyone else developed. So here we find ourselves going to church again. We thought it would solve our problems. Now we're miserable. Our family life is suffering, and our marriage is feeling strain. Each week is another sort of death. Honestly, Wayne, my heart is so heavy right now, I'm kind of wishing I'd never heard of you before. Like I chose the red pill and cannot go back. It is hard. It feels like I've betrayed Papa. Like he gave us a gift, but we did not have the maturity or faith to keep it. It feels, my heart breaks for my husband. He couldn't find his way at home. Now he's just as lost sitting back in a pew. He still reaches for the blanket of religion to keep him warm when we feel the chill of our, when we feel the chill our choices bring. There was a time I was completely discarded the blanket. Now it seems as though I have traded the warmth of Papa's affection for the scratchy comfort of an old quilt. Church is such an issue. It looms over us like a dark cloud. Wow.
See, I sometimes wonder, it's weird when we're trying to get something from church. If you just sat around and thought about friendships, I wonder if it wouldn't be as complicated. You know, I think when you're just wanting to enjoy fellowshipping and being involved in the lives of other people, if Jesus is a part of my life, it's going to somehow find its way into the friendships.
Yeah.
But I don't have to bring him as an agenda just to have relationship.
No, but if I think this is true, what Joy's saying is true of so many people. We left that whole thing because it was killing us.
Right.
We found great life as a family together. It was just wonderful. But we were alone. Everybody we knew is caught up in that whole thing. And if you're not caught up with them, there's no time for you. And that's true.
That is true. That is true.
That was true for me when I was there. Other people I wanted to relate to who weren't there, and I didn't have time
for them.
The
church program kind of busies the community out.
It eats you up. And you've got to have this may be the courage, the patience, to let's let some new friendships develop, and that will take some time. But it's meeting neighbors, getting involved in something else in the community. Yeah,
I mean, it's interesting. I look at the friendships that have developed, and they haven't been believing friendships necessarily, that they're just with other fellow believers, but they're with people that I can love.
Yep.
And it's interesting to see the relationships that do surface because, you know, I can't think of a one that God hasn't become a part of.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what?
In time.
To know me, you're going to end up at some juncture knowing that probably the greatest portion of my life is going to have a passion tied to this guy, Jesus.
Yeah.
And to sort of feel like I don't have to force him into that friendship, I can just enjoy the friendship, has been so freeing because I don't have to take this friendship anywhere to validate it. I don't have to convert it to anything. I just get to listen and enjoy the person. And I think so when people are feeling so isolated and alone, I think sometimes it's sort of like, well, maybe look around you. I doubt you're in a desert. I doubt there aren't other human beings that you could journey with. But maybe they don't think like you. Maybe they don't have the same perspectives like you. And my attitude is, so?
And certainly, Joy, don't feel like because you went back to another fellowship that you've betrayed God in some way. This is all part of this. How do we learn to listen and follow? And if you
that's just the backside of the same coin.
It really is. I just recently, you know, you haven't traded Papa's warmth of affection for the scratchy comfort of an old quilt. You haven't done that. It may feel like that.
It's nice writing.
It's beautiful. It's poetic. And we'd like it to be true so we can tell everybody to throw off their old quilt. But the fact is, you're kind of lost looking for a bit of relationship. The God you enjoyed in this time you took a break and the family life, I get back to that, celebrating that, living that. If you go somewhere on a Sunday morning to hang out with people, don't let that define your whole life again. That's just you're going there. If it fruitful and works, great. If it's not fruitful, stop. I sent you know your husband and you, Joy, a little bit on a different page, and you know God will bring you along hopefully to see something more completely. But I think the worst part of this letter is we've now blown it. we can't get back to what we had. And the fact is, God's always...
Yeah, that sounds like the same treadmill, that it's like, no, go ahead and step off that, whether you're having fun hanging out in the church or not, in terms of a Sunday gathering, so what?
We all wander into things that we think might help us that turn out not to, and God gets to redirect us, and that's just part of the journey. Enjoy that bit of it. It's that learning to listen part. It's okay. You haven't betrayed him. And
I've picked up a lot of valuable things on every cul-de-sac I've ventured down. It may not have been where... It maybe didn't get me where I wanted to, quote, go, but it wasn't a worthless journey. If I'm journeying with him, I don't think there's anything you can't enjoy in terms of the growth process.
Because you're learning something. You're learning something even in the bad place, even in the Wayne-generated moments that I sign God's name to. When you get in the middle of those, you learn stuff. You learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, if you have the courage to go, oh, and that was a Wayne-generated moment.
And one, you learn how patient God is with us and how much He's just going to invite us into life here again. So it's good stuff. From Tim in Alaska, my friend here in Alaska, Anchorage, sent me a copy of the Jake book. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I always felt that God was far from me and displeased with me, and I could just get it together then and only then would God decide He wanted to be near me. That's that religious treadmill. I've been making my way through your podcast now for a few weeks, and they've completely changed my life. I don't know what exactly it was, but something about you guys going on and on about how God loves us finally got through my skull. I like how you talk about being relaxed before God. I always felt like that God was expecting me to attain some level of spirituality and that I was in perpetual failure. Now, that's that whole religious...
Yeah, I got to tell you, that...
that's what gets me going.
I do. I think if there's one thing that I am really enjoying, it's the fact that I feel like the whole need to perform for God's approval has just been thankfully removed. And I get to enjoy knowing I'm really loved. I still do stuff. It's not that there aren't tasks that I know that He's even assigned.
Yeah.
But I'm not a better person for doing them.
Yeah. And the performance treadmill really is, if you're honest, it is perpetual failure.
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody that meets it. Even the people who stand up front. It's like the
people... You're just lucky to not fall off the back.
It's like the people who sell you investment strategies for foreclosed homes. The reason you know that doesn't work is because they're not doing that. They're selling a book about it. That's the deal you got to know. If it was really working, why would you waste your time writing a book and doing an infomercial?
Because that's more secure.
You would be doing the... Yeah, that's it. So he says this. It was a game of my religious performance and the rewards that I earned from that, which, needless to say, didn't amount to much. I finally encountered the God we see in Zephaniah, one who takes great delight in me, who quiets me with His love and rejoices over me with singing. I feel like the thing I lacked was somebody to come alongside me and encourage me until I truly encounter God's love like I have through these podcasts. I'm tempted to ask why I've never had anybody like that, but if I had to guess, it would probably be that a good number of the people I've been around have been trapped themselves in religiosity instead of giving up in exchange for God's love. As I go through the day now, I've got this persistent reality of a God who loves me, and it gives security a whole new meaning.
Wow.
Love it.
Have you seen that show, Wipeout?
Nah, what is it?
Okay, it's one of these, like, it's not a reality show, but it's sort of like it's a physical obstacle course show.
It's just MTV again.
No, it's not. I mean, it's getting pretty big. It's just they saw this one little promo clip, and it's called the Dreadmill. it's this treadmill that is going so fast. You try to get on it, it just launches you off the back. It is hilarious. I feel so sorry for anyone ever attempting that. But as you were talking about this, that's all I can picture in my head is the dreadmill of religion. You're just going like, there's nobody I know, the best Pharisee out there, still gets launched off the back.
Wouldn't it were like that when you first walked up to it?
Yeah.
Because the religious...
You learn.
Because the religious treadmill is very slow. This is easy. God has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah,
just come join us. And there's a Diet Coke on the thing, and there's another chocolate cake. And
but the further you go, the faster it goes, and you just...
Well, somebody says there's a little dial, and just keeps turning it up, and I'm tired. No, it's okay. We all get tired. And then when you fall, hit your head on the thing, it's thrown off the back, and you go, that's abusive. And they turn the dial down again to zero, and they wait for somebody else. Come here. God has a wonderful plan for you. That's a great picture. If it were running that fast at the beginning, no one would jump on that thing. No one would.
A few would. I know. A few would. I can do this.
I can do it.
That is just hilarious.
And you see them, they jump in the air, and they start running before they even hit the treadmill.
Yeah.
And it's still too fast. They still get slammed against the wall. And they're going, that's a perpetual failure. I know I can do this. If I read my Bible a little more every day, if I prayed a little harder, I could do this.
But, you know, nobody stops to think. No, I think it's probably not true. As soon as they get launched off the back, they start rethinking. The reality is, what is a picture? If that's really how God is, then what becomes the character description of Him in terms of what must He be like?
Yeah.
And you're just going like, I don't even know that I'd want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
So.
I love Tim's, Theo. Here's somebody still in the process. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year and a half. Been out of the institution 2 years in August. Yet I can't say that I found a real relationship with Father. In fact, I feel more lost and further from him now than when I was in religion. He so desired this relationship with me more than I do. Then why is it that it takes so long to get that? And it is so hard to get it. I was way more sure of him when I was in religion, had brothers and sisters to share in him as well as now, and I don't have that.
But pause for a sec. I was way more sure of him
when I was in religion.
I don't know that you were way more sure of him. You had a caricature that you could perform for.
I don't know.
A whole. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not him. I don't know that I think this thing is so hard and it takes so long. I just do know there's somewhat of a measure of detox that you've got to go through that shifts our understanding. And I think a lot of times, that's why it's like, you know, I don't blame the institution. I think it's sometimes our mindset that it's been evangelized unto the sense that God is there, but somehow I've got to be in the right place and perform in the right way so that he and I can connect. And the structure at least kind of sets a few things that are clear for me that I can do, I can achieve. You take that away, and now I feel this need to do,
yeah.
And I don't know what to do. There isn't any clarity there.
Yeah.
And so if I'm still having to do so as to get a relationship, I think that's part of the whole, that's got to be reworked.
He finishes this way. I've asked Father many, many times to make himself real to me. And why does he take so long to do that with no answers? The only conclusion I can come up with is that I'm not one of his children.
Ooh. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's the one conclusion I think Brad and I would be pretty clear on. Wrong. You are one of his kids. I don't know why, say it's been a year and a half, 2 years since you've been in the institution, why Tim here connected after a few podcasts and found that reality. It really isn't about the podcast. It really is about God doing something in you, and you're asking him. That's fabulous. But I think the question you might want to be asking, too, is, God, why am I not connecting with this? Don't turn it inward. It's not because I'm not loved. He doesn't care about me. Father, what is it? There's something that's a disconnect that God wants to kick free, and part of this time is to kick that free, and part of the time leads to a desperation often that lets us see that. But this has seemed like an awful long time. I would think it'd be great for you to find a brother or a sister, if you're a sister, that has the relationship with God you desire, and hang out with him a bit and say, can you help me get unstuck a little bit? I mean, people ask me all the time, can you do this by email? And I'm saying, pretty much, I don't think you can. I think this is a face-to-face encounter.
I think there's more relationship to it than that. You know, I do. Tim? Is it Tim?
No, there's no name here.
Okay. Whoever? The reality is I don't think that I know a bunch of people who would kind of describe themselves in that spot.
Yeah, me too.
Somehow, their expectation of what this is and their experience, they don't match.
Yep.
And so they're kind of left in that land of, I'm disappointed, I don't get it. You know, I sometimes wonder if one of the most valuable things, I remember you asked me a while back, you know, can I get rid of my expectations and still live with a sense of expectancy. When you first said that, it just honestly just felt like words, kind of like, okay.
Why didn't you respond so honestly then? Because that's not how you responded.
You know, it's like it sounds right, but I didn't know how to get my brain around it. And I think if the question is one from a standpoint that's like, God, make yourself real, as if, well, I'm kind of wondering if you are, and I'm sort of waffling there. Part of me is going like, perhaps a better way to come at this isn't so much trying to pole vault on that issue, but maybe say, God, I know you're up to something. Can you help me have the eyes to see what that is? Don't make it so much about you. Make it more perhaps outside of you. Maybe you're not able to see some dynamics in you. Maybe there are some walls, some blinders, some things that just life has frankly, you know, obscured your vision. I do find that when I take the focus off me and I can start to look beyond me, it isn't that hard to see how God is sometimes working in others. And I can find an appreciation for that. If I'm part of the dialogue of getting to know him is to get over a self-absorption about me, And I think that sometimes needs to happen. I don't say that as a ding. I'm just going like, if you're for 2 years you're honestly stuck there, I'd say just maybe shift a little bit to the sideways and look and say, God, are you doing anything around me that I could at least connect to? Maybe I don't find that one-to-one right now. And as opposed to putting that on some treadmill and trying to evaluate that, I don't know. I'm not inside the guy's life to know whether that's accurate or not accurate. But I do know that, you know, the conclusion that says, oh, I'm not one of his kids, I know that one's warped. I know that one's not true.
Yep. And that's what the writers in the New Testament continue to underscore. It's for everybody, from the least to the greatest. All will know me, says the Lord. So if someone's in this kind of place, and I, like I said, I know many people who are, who I don't understand. I'm lost somewhere.
I'm not feeling it.
It could be expectations are off. It could be... just there's something God's unraveling that's just deep that we're not seeing that will surface down the road. It does help to be in conversations with people who are also on this journey if you can find that at all. If not, we pray for you. We just keep you before Father. Say, God, make yourself known to people like this who are crying out to you.
And I know one of the things that's been helpful is really do find just a brother or sister and invite them to sort of say, you know, how do you see God at work in my life? Yeah. It's not going to happen in the first lunch.
Yeah.
But if you journey a little bit, you know, I think a lot of times other people around me, they're like a mirror unto my life. You know, if I've asked them and trying to figure out a little bit of, okay, what am I for? What do I really do? One of the questions I encourage people is like, ask your friends. They're the recipients of that thing that you are and that thing that you do, and you might not be able to see it. It might be so normal to you that there's nothing special about it, so you don't value it. But all the people around you are recipients of that grace at work, and maybe they have language for it that will help you discover it. And so I ask folks, when I'm in your life, it's not like, oh, please, it's now time to compliment me and make me feel good. It's not that.
Right, right.
It's more like, is there something that I bring to this table that you really value in the course of our relationship? And if you start to ask a handful of people that you are in relationship with, and you start to hear some things repeated, that's a golden nugget of some understanding that just says, guess what? That's an area that God's at work in, because that's his grace being released through you to the blessing and upbuilding of others.
Yeah, the last podcast we talked about Jesus' invitation to relax. I think somehow with these kind of people often that I've dealt with individually, there's such a tension that God, they're missing the things God's whispering in their ear already. It's not that God isn't saying. It's not that he isn't doing. It's that they've been taught to reject the voice that says, I love you and care about you. And to embrace the voice that says, you can't be his child. Who do you think you are? And it really... One of the things that has helped other people I've dealt with, I've said to them, you realize God loves you more than any person on the planet ever has or ever will. Your knowing that is not a prerequisite to that being true.
Yep.
So God loves you anyway. And I think when you get that in your head and say, okay, God, I don't see it, but I'm also not going to challenge it.
can I start there?
Part of relaxing into that reality, because I don't believe there's a person on the planet God isn't speaking love words to. God isn't speaking the language of you're my child and you're mine and I love you and I want to take you from here. But it's voices we've learned not to listen to. We've shut that voice down. Well,
you've also, I mean, I'm sure you've had somebody in your life that's kind of done this deal at times. You actually, it's someone that you love, but for whatever reason, they're in a place of hurt or pain.
Yep.
And they end up sort of discounting the relationship in a way that they go like, well, prove it. And every time that's ever happened, it seems to be like a no-win scenario, because if you already are in a prove-it-to-me deal,
yeah.
The reality is there's already something going on. You're like, you're not understanding the love that is there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that there's anything I can necessarily do that's going to overcome that. I mean, I'll give it my shot. I'll give it the best shot. But it's like, love is one of those things that I don't think you can force it or prove it. You can receive it.
You can. You can relax into it. And there's a revelation that God's already giving you. You're not seeing it for some reason. Doesn't mean it's not there. And relax into that reality. Get some help and see what happens. Becky wrote this. I received your podcast link from a friend. Started listening yesterday. 23-year-old Christian who left the box 2 years ago. I was raised in church. After witnessing 3 pastoral affairs and 2 church splits, I threw up my hands and walked away. If that was God, I didn't want him. I didn't know what to do. My decision to leave the church was against everything I've been taught here in the Bible Belt, but at the same time, it was a decision that felt as right as choosing God in the first place. Interestingly enough, I had my first real and authentic conversation with God after I left the church. Although it was mostly filled with anger, it was the first time I allowed myself to be real with God. I spent my entire life in this passive-aggressive state because all the formulaic prayers and activities didn't lead to the life of the Bible talks so much about. It seemed no matter what I did, I couldn't feel alive and whole like the Bible said. But I continued on with my small groups and morning devotions and weekly church services because that's what I was supposed to do, even if it wasn't me. When I left the church, I told God that He was God and I was not, and that's all I knew. Everything else was up for debate. I had no idea what was true or false, but I was willing to wade through it to find out if it meant something better than what I was living. It's been 2 years. I'm still waiting. Waiting, W-A-D-I-N-G. I'm finally realizing that being who I am before God is enough. Reading The Shack last year changed a lot. I've never felt such a sense of relief after reading something. If that God is who God really is, that's a God worth worshiping. I no longer had to be someone I wasn't in order to love him. What a relief. And though I feel confident in my decision now more than ever, I still often struggle with it. She starts with this. I'm starting from the beginning on your podcast and plan to listen to them all. I just have to thank you. It's nice to know people older with much more wisdom, education, experience feel the same way. It was so depressing and discouraging to know that the only way to God was through the box, which I was just couldn't fit into. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Finally starting to understand how great this God is and what the Bible talks so much about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it does take time. We read letters, great letters from folks today. People well down the journey, feeling the joy in life coming. People stuck somewhere in the middle. People trying to get started. And it's a journey worth taking. It's that same up the hill thing. It's worth it. It takes 5-6 years to get through the brokenness of our religious thinking or performance traps or whatever. It's still going to be worth it to come and live in the life and freedom that God's made available to all of us.
Yeah, and it's also not just getting to a place up the hill where you can see. It's like the joy of a hike is not just the view, the payoff at the end. That's not it only.
It is for me.
Okay.
Got to tell you.
Yeah, but you didn't take the tram.
I hate sweating and hiking up there. I would have hiked up that mountain.
Of course. I think the reality is when you can settle into the fact that it is a journey, and there are views and vistas, as well as there are simply times where it's just all I can do right now in my tiredness is put one foot in front of the other. And then the fact that there's sometimes where you just got to sit down on a log and rest, that is this journey. It's not one or the other. God didn't leave me when I sat down on the log. He wasn't not with me when I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. The same God that created the trail up the mountain is the same God that created the awesome, beautiful vista once you see it. And it's part of that whole thing. And I think when you can start to embrace that, my expectations of what it should be or shouldn't be, it's like, don't shoot on yourself. Just enjoy the fact that, you know what? It's a journey, and say, God, hold my hand And sometimes, like when we go hiking, my daughter says, Daddy, can you carry me? That isn't the funnest part of the journey for me, hiking. But it's also a blast to just have her on my shoulders. Yeah. And it's like, just sometimes say, God, guess what? I really can't walk anymore. If we're going to go anywhere, you're going to have to carry me. That's okay.
We'll do it. For sure. Thank you for joining us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, you may do so at our website, thegodjourney.com.